I'm on the air. This is Kathy Cook with Bridging Wisdom Tonight, and I'm also known as Bright Lights Pathfinders. I want to share with you guys some awesome news. I don't know if you have ever heard of Horse Boy. This is a archive site that I have was sent by someone, and it is about sharing your horses with. It's kind of like a therapeutic type of thing for autism children. It's going to be established all over the people are going to go all over the world, and it's called Horse Boy World. That is www.horseboyworld.com. I am just now seeing this, so I just wanted to plug that out there. David Swimmer and Scott Swimmer that we grew up with, those that are listening from East Mecklenburg High School and McClintic Junior High, and all of the people in Charlotte, that Misty Meadow Farms is actually going to be having the Horse Boy World out there. It's about teaching children that have autism how to relate to a horse using the sensory issues, tricks like circus tricks, doing things like that. They do ask that they were going to give you in 2 days a certification to be able to teach these autism children about horses and stuff in your local area. So let's look that up. It is www.horseboyworld.com. There's also a video on it that tells you exactly what they do within that area. Now, also, I was on the TNT News Trader, okay, this morning, and as usual, I love to read the TNT News Trader from bbsradio.com. It is about mostly anything that you can think of under the sun. This was about 51 spiritual awakening symptoms, and which ones do you have? This site is where I'm going to go right now, and that is www.in5d.com/spiritual-awakening-quiz.html. But I'm sure you can just put in www.in5d.com. Now, he also has a site. Now, you can join his Facebook page. I have to get to the main page here, so just wait just a second. It is, his name is oh my gosh, let me just give you the index. It's, hold on a minute, because I'm just now getting with this. I don't prepare for my shows, so here comes the stuff. He has about 50 billion articles written so far. If you want to go to www.in5d.com/index.html. Now, I found this guy through this main page. His name is Greg Prescott, and he is on Facebook, and I am just now starting to look around this website. You know, guys, I do not prepare for my shows. I do not really study or look into other people's web pages very much, or the TV. I kind of like to just feel things from my spirit. Now, what I have done is I have gone to this website, read about five of his symptoms, which blew my mind because I had four out of the five that I had read. Now, the only thing that hadn't changed with me is my meditation type ways. But let me just give you a rundown on a few of his that he has placed up here. Change in sleep patterns, restlessness, hot feet, waking up 2 and 3 times a night. I've had every one of those. As a matter of fact, when Michael Goger was here the other week, my fiance, he noticed that I stopped breathing 15 times in an hour. So I've got an appointment with a sleep study doctor. But I have, since I was little, I've always woken up at, you know, these times of, you know, like sleep 2 hours, sleep 3 hours, and that was about it. But the hot feet definitely hits home. And also, it says on the webpage, feeling tired after you've woken up, of course, and very sleepy during the day, of course, and that is called a triad sleep pattern. So, Greg says, he also says that that after another couple hours, you go back to sleep, which I do, and then wake back up again, which I do. I don't know how many of you active listening audience out there or the archive audience are familiar with any of the awakening symptoms, but I didn't even realize to put symptoms together. I can't go to his webpage and start reading about it because I don't do that. I have to tell about my experience, strength, and hope. So let's just close that. But there's a site there for you guys that want to understand something that can be in black and white for you, because I feel that this is going to be a really strong, strong, strong website for you guys. And I know I don't usually plug people or whatever, but this is something that is very like a new movement that we're all doing that I've been, you know, feeling for many years. Let me scroll back to my 1988 timeline in my life, and let me close this out for a minute so that I'm not looking at his page and feeling that energy, because he's got some strong energy. Good Lord. I remember that I would lay in the yard with my children. They were born in the 79, 81, and 82. But when we were about, when they started being able to get around good, you know, we always played in the rain. We always kind of, we didn't always, because always is only God, but we'd get mud on our feet and hands, and we'd play in goosh all in the rain if it wasn't a thunderstorm. And we would lay out in the stars when it was a beautiful night, and we would say that we'd make constellations. I'd explain to them how to do, you know, connect the dots of the star systems. You know, with our fingers, we would outline them, like kind of like if you ever saw that movie, A Beautiful Mind, where he was meeting his wife, and the, he was a very strong, gifted person, but he was also, like, you know, mentally ill, but he was really, really strong. So he would connect the dots with her hand, her finger, and say that, how to make a constellation. Well, my girlfriend Bridget and I, we started making constellations. So I shared that with my children to, you know, this star system so vast and wide that they could pick out an umbrella and just connect the dots with the stars for an umbrella. Or they could connect the dots with a baseball bat or, let's say, a rabbit. And it's kind of like reading clouds or reading the trees, you know. But those are things that I was doing without realizing that I was waking up. And I would sleep on and off. And it was really tough to get the kids up for school because of my sleep patterns, and I would take NyQuil or I'd take the Excedrin PM. Well, I realized that that wasn't going to change me waking up here and there and here and there, it, because I'd get used to that. And so anyway, to make a long story short, I don't always say that. Anyway, some of my symptoms were very traumatic. I was sick for like 7 years, so I started looking into that. It was like just symptom after symptom, aches and pains and just weird stuff. So I realized that as becoming a shaman, we usually are sick for a good 7 years before we pull out of it, because we go through taking all the poison out of our bodies and systems and, you know, changing the ways that we think. Well, my mind goes so fast. I was called ADHD, and I was told that I didn't have a filter in my brain. I was told that it was like that of a window. You know, you think of a window in a house, and that there was a screen there for the filter, you know, to not get the dirt into the house. Well, the doctors told me I didn't have a filter in my brain, you know, to filter out all the bouncing around and everything, and that my mind was going a good 130 miles an hour, 135 miles an hour, to where normal humans goes 70 miles an hour. So then they started studying my brain. I was looking for any reason of what was going on, but it was all spiritual awakening, because all this information was popping in. I could see the energy flash all through the room. I started making energy balls, which, my gosh, Michael and I saw all kinds of energy when he was here, because we'd make these energy balls and then throw them. And we'd get, I even got some pictures of it that are on the TNT News Trader that I placed in there of, you know, some of the pictures that you could actually see the spirits coming through my hand after I had made the energy ball. They made themselves available for me to be able to capture and film, but I had to, it was on a video, so I rolled it back like frame by frame, because I knew I felt them and saw them. And I wanted to prove it to myself, not only to myself, but to the world, that there are actual spirits in my house, probably everywhere that you go. The thing is that I would see the little, it looked like little one inch by inch, you know, swirling around, a little inch long, maybe by about a quarter of an inch, even thinner than that. You know, just these little long, thin looking straw thing, kind of like a toothpick broken in two, or broken even spent maybe four times. Take a toothpick and break it four times, and then take it and paint it a little, kind of like a neon, just a neon color, like a blue, or kind of a purple, and throw them all around in the room, a billion of them, and that's what I was seeing everywhere I went. I was, until I would take my focus, it was like called hyperfocus, went to the eye doctor. They said maybe I had floaters. I was looking for any ways and means to justify what was going on with my health. But it was all an awakening, because I would ask for the awakening. I knew all my life as a child, I'd get on my horse and I'd ride and ride and ride, which, as a matter of fact, we'd ride with Misty Meadow Farms, and Oh, there was just a group of us that would ride all over the place in Charlotte, you know, down Providence Road. But I would get on my horse and I knew I was magic. I just knew I was. I was 8 years old and I'd hold my arms out just like that. And I would just fly and float. And I said, I know you're out there. I know you're out there. Where is it? What is out here? And Fair Lady was a five-gated show horse that no one else in the world could ride but me. I would ride her with only a halter and nothing else. And I would whisper to her and talk to her. And she was my magic, you know. And then when she passed away, she was 33 years old, Captain came along. So I'm talking about how animals communicate with me to help me through my awakening. What communicates with you to help you through your awakening process? And look at the symptoms. Look at the things that have changed in your life. Not so much changed, but you become aware of, because those things have always been with me in my life, seeing the little energy levels and all that stuff. Or like, say I'd look at a picture on a wall and then I'd turn my head and look to the other side and there was a picture on the wall again. You know, I told Michael yesterday, talking to him, I said, I keep feeling here comes that energy. I don't know what it is, but what I've realized is this new energy that's coming in to me and opening up like a portal, or, you know, a new level, say what, third dimension, fourth dimension, fifth dimension. I don't know which dimension. I just go out there. I go beyond in my meditations and I can shoot myself up through the stars over to the other side. Then I swirl and spiral down. All of a sudden I'm in the ocean. I'm swimming. I'm going real fast. I go real slow, or I'll just dance to it. But I use music and I use my animals. So find your tools, find your understanding of what would help trigger your awakenings more, because that music that I use on the 24-hour station on BBS, I just turn it on because it's good music, it's jiving music, and it's sultrous music or it's soft music. And I listen to it and I just start swimming. And I do the rhythmic breathe literally with the computer in front of me. And I just start going. Before I know it, I am so deep into closing my eyes and swimming that it's literally like I can feel the water pushing through me and going and swaying and just going up there. Or I would take my hands and talk it out like it's a, like I'm expressing the dance in movement to my body of what the music was telling me of how I feel. Those are types of ways to meditate. Most people think, or a lot of people think, which I thought, you had to literally shut your mind off. There was a certain law and reason to do it, or how to do it. But there's not. You have to find your own niche. Okay, just like with Puppy Wuppy Girly Whirly. She's missing Michael so deeply. She's like a man's dog. She was really connected to Ronnie, Birdman, Froggy. That was he's the one that gave me Puppy Wuppy, and he was one of the first guys that really helped me understand what was going on with me right after my marriage. And Puppy Wuppy's about 14 years old, or 1997, but she has literally scratched pulled up my carpet in little flicks where Michael sat in his chair and Michael laid on the sofa when I was so sick. And she's very connected to him. So she tells me when she feels something out of the sorts, or she always has, but I'm just saying how Puppy connects things. Dogs, animals, any animal, I'm sure, just like the, what do you call them, the animal totems. You know, what totem is coming into your mind? I know when I see an owl, or I'm fixated on owls because my mother-in-law used to be into those, and I started thinking, well, what does an owl represent to me? Trying not to look at others' websites or web pages of what they mean to them, but what does that owl mean? Well, it hones in. It hears things very deeply. It can be 20 feet of snow, and it can literally focus in, hear a little varmint underneath the snow 20 feet, and zoom in and catch that varmint needed. You know, it can turn its head like a radar, hearing radar. So if I see an owl, or I start thinking of an owl, well, then maybe I'm needing to listen, actively listen more, or listen to the atmosphere of the universe, or other people maybe, use my talking stick more. If I hear it, like say there's rabbits all in my yard, well, what does that mean? Well, that to me is beautiful, but there's a lot of things that a rabbit represents. Number one, we used to use the rabbit for pregnancy tests, and if the rabbit died, you know, I don't know, whatever, but, you know, the rabbit hole, or the rabbit bouncing around and jumping around here and there and everywhere. You know, that's another thing that I do a lot. You know, if I see the rabbit, then I'm bouncing from one subject to the next, which used to be called, what, ADHD? Is it ADHD? I don't know, and I don't really care. All I know is that this is how my mind's made. This is how I'm made. And I can get, you know, I take medication for it once in a while. And when I don't, I don't. But anyway, let's get back to what I was talking about. I should take one now for my medication. No, I'm not. But if you think about it, even sports, what does that feeling of euphoria give to you when you are playing a sport or working out? Now, I don't work out very often, but I do have this, like I call it the stage behind my sofa. It's a step up to the front door, and it goes all the way across the back side of my room. So what I do is I get up there on that stage, turn on the music of, or turn on an archive, or turn on something. I always like to, not always, but yeah, it is always, because I always use BBS radio's stations to feed me into my meditations or whatever I'm going to do. I listen, because that, my friends, is where I get my information from. But if I read it, I will start bouncing from one thing to the next, like you saw me at the beginning of this show. It's just something I can't really do. Now, on the TNT News Trader, I will just pick out words here and there. I'll scan it real fast and see what I get information out of that. And that gives me sometimes foreign words that I Google search or, you know, get a message from. But there's always a deeper meaning inside the meaning, inside the meaning for me. I was one of these children that like to take things apart, dissect them, go into the nth of it. And see why it ticks all the way to the molecule of the atom. You know, I had to see what was inside that. Well, what was inside that? Well, what made that like that? Just like, say the bird. A robin came by my window today, and it had its little worm in its mouth. And it was so proud because it was one of the babies from last Easter. I know it was because I just know my birds. But it built a nest in front of my window at the office last Easter, and the eggs hatched, and it was a little Robinson. I was in the office, which now I don't use, but I was looking for a picture, some pictures for something, somebody, the photographs of the 35mm film. And that little robin, it just was so proud. It had its little worm in its mouth, and it was like showing off to me. And I looked down in the yard, and I said, you know, my yard, the way they cut the grass looks like those crop circles. And so then that started connecting of what kind of patterns do things make and why. And that's, I'm giving you an example of how I bounce or take things apart so deep. Then I went into, you know, the patterns of the grass. And then I said, well, that worm was somewhere. Let's see where it, you know, what does it feel like to be a worm, you know, on that kind of level, to look up into the grass and everything, or to know that a big old huge bird's about to snatch it up. And then that brought me back to my childhood when I used to take worms and cut them apart, you know, for fishing, but they would always inch away. Worms, I don't know, I guess they don't have anything in their body but a worm. I don't know. But I'm just saying, look at things. I'm learning not to look at things so deeply, but just letting the message come through to me, because that's part of my awakening as well. And I believe that we're reawoken more and more, and we might take a break, you know, go to sleep a little bit and use the real world, like getting up, getting your breakfast, getting your coffee, reading the newspaper, going to work, fight the traffic, work, come home, eat dinner, fuss a little bit at the family, because why? Because you've had the stress all day at the work, you know, whatever. But if we learn to just be still, and let things be, and don't worry so much, because worry's like a rocking chair. It gets you nowhere. And what else? The message that I'm trying to get out today is that every single human soul is gifted beyond measure. It's just up to the individual to open that door. But use a screen in your filters of your minds, because believe you me, I've been there without the filters. And it's just like, I've been talking 20 minutes and I've given you what? A billion pieces of information. Do you see what I mean? It's all like, if I calm down, let's calm down a minute, Kathy. Calm down a minute. Just relax. Take some deep breaths, like the Moss method. Take a minute, your pill. I've had pneumonia, double pneumonia, and bronchitis for 3 weeks, so bear with me. My voice is coming back, but I need to calm down a little bit. I think I was a little hyper because of finding something so exciting as these web pages that I was giving you. Okay, now I'm going to just breathe a little bit, take a deep breath, like Lamaze. You blow in, you breathe in, You blow out so small breaths. The reason I do those small breaths is because you cannot push a baby out during those. You cannot think about anything. You cannot do anything because those breaths are taking over your thoughts, mind, and body, spirit, soul as you do them. And that was like focusing on a focal point, just like having a baby. You do the different breathing techniques all the way through this four stages of the labor. So think of yourself as a laboring person being birthed into a new spiritual awakening. That's how we're going to handle this, Kathy. Let's do it that way, active listening audience and archived audience. Let's look at this like a birth out of Mother Earth. Now, there's several different breathings. When you first go into the first trimester, your first centimeter is like 1 through 3 centimeters of dilation with having a baby. Because I'm a woman, I can tell you about these things. And I did natural childbirth, no drugs at all. You breathe very deep and always in from your abdomen. So you're birthing out of Mother Earth. You're going into the new dimensions, okay? Your body levels change. Your body weights change. Mine has, I know. I look like I've got a little pregnant belly going on, but I like it because I've always been thin all my life. You change all different kinds of ways. But you think of labor pains. We are actually being birthed into a new world and into a new way, into a new movement. And breathe deeply in through your nose, taking all the positive energy that you can focus on through that breathing. And then you blow it out. That's called a cleansing breath. You keep doing that. You do it 4 times. Now, that'll calm the person down. Then you focus on anything you can fix your eyes on. Just a focal point. It could be a candle. It could be a picture. It could be a button. Whatever. It could be a little stuffed animal. It could be a leaf. It doesn't matter. Whatever you choose in your life to have as a focal point. Kind of like a mantra. Just anything. I like to use a stuffed animal sometimes if I'm looking at trying to be witty or understanding like a fox. I'll use a cat, you know, or it's something like that. But I have learned to close my eyes and go into my third eye and remote view where I need to go. But as you start, that's a great way to do it. It's just, even if you want, you know, shoot, man, you can have a box of tea out. If that, anything just to focus on, to look into, and to put your energy into. So you don't see all the little things all around your house or all around, and you're trying to quieten your mind. Just like when I was trying to be that worm to see, you know, where that little worm came from. You know, how to see the crop circles that are really not there, but, you know, I want to see the patterns. So I need to close my mind off not to see those things, okay? I need to focus on just me and my breath. Excuse me. Now, once you get your cleansing breath out of the way and your 4 deep cleansing breaths, then you start breathing very slow in your first part of labor. Okay, let's think of that. We're in the first part of our labor, birthing out of Mother Earth into a spiritual awakening, which Mother Earth is our food, you know, like the umbilical cord. Now, as we breathe, we're going to breathe deeper and deeper and deeper. And we're going to be aware of our breath, putting our thought process into actual focusing as if we are the breath in our body, moving up and down, up and down. So I turn myself into a fish. Every time, just about, because those gills going in and out, because it, water to me represents a lot. That's relationships. It's so much that if I become that big whale or that fish, that I am also connecting that to, that's the bait that's on the hook. You know, am I the fish that's going to bite that bait like that worm? No. Because I'm going to make myself a bigger and bigger and bigger fish. So big that it's like Jonah and the whale. If you think of Jonah and the whale, I met this lady today. I'm going to stop right there. I met this lady today. I was at a restaurant getting something to eat at Five Guys. And she had 3 little kids with her. And I was just so overtaken of how well she did with 3 kids under like 4 years old. I said, I have 3 kids under 3 years old. or 4 years old. And we got to talking, and all her children, one child's name was Jonah. And I said, oh my gosh, I use Jonah the whale analogy a lot in my life and also on the station. And I said, you know, Jonah got swallowed by the whale, and then he was spit out at the Joshua tree, you know. But the Bible stories helped me a lot. But if you think about it, it's a book. We're all like a book, you know, chapters in our life from yesterday past. And today is right now, this minute, is a blank page, and I'm writing it in as I speak. But it's a book. Take a look. I'm the bait that's on the hook. Or you're the bait listening to my radio station on the hook. Now, as the hook is baited, it gains its power. But as soon as that bait is taken off of that hook, that thought or that situation or whatever I'm going through loses its power. Let's say money. You know, maybe I don't have enough money to pay everything. Maybe it's because I got my priorities wrong. Maybe I'm buying too many cigarettes, or maybe I'm, you know, buying this and that and what have you. Or maybe I just am not using my money wisely for the priorities of, say, having a radio station or having my book published or, you know, getting gas in my car. What are my priorities? So I have to say, okay, that's the bait that's on the hook, is that's bugging me. So if I let go and let God, if I let go and just let it release, then what happens? I'm back centered into myself. I'm feeling my breathing. I'm back into my center. And if I'm in my center and in my spot to evolve higher and higher and higher and higher and higher and not have all that junk. I got to pay this. I got to do that. I got to, you know, all that self-talk. I got to stop my mind. I got to shut it down. But I want to be awake but asleep at the same time and feel myself wake up through the breathing. So let's say that stage one helps you to go into your mind, into your heart, into your breath, and think of, I do. Now you find your own, but I feel like I am swimming like a mermaid or a fish or whatever in the water, because I love water. And I just swim, and I feel my breath going in and out like the gills of a fish, you know, that gets the water in and out, and that's how they get the oxygen out of the water, right? So we swim like that. Okay, you can be a deer, you know, running through the woods as you breathe. You could be anything, a balloon letting air in and out. Whatever you want to put in your thoughts. But I take my third eye and I go from my crown chakra, which is the baby soft spot. Why do they call it the baby soft spot? Think about that. Your crown chakra was called a baby soft spot when a baby's born. It's real soft right there. It's still open, right? Because it's catching all that stuff from the heaven's bounds or wherever it came from down into itself, still being fed. And what happens, it takes 4 years or so for that crown chakra to shut. What do the studies tell you? That babies and children up to age 4.5 to 5 can learn anything and anything, like any foreign language. They can learn multiple foreign languages together along with their primary language. They can learn. My daughter keeps the TV on at all times for my grandbaby that's 4 months old, but she keeps it on ABCs, simple 1, 2, 3, ABC. And she keeps it on numbers counting, colors. And at first I was upset about the TV being on all the time and not music, but she's visual, and Avery's learned to look at that TV for her pacification. And it's constantly the same thing repeated over and over and over and over all day long. But what it's doing is, she's only 4 months old and she's absorbing, you know, numbers, blocks, colors. And it's a really amazing sight, TV station. But anyway, what I'm trying to get at is, we've got to find, I can't tell you what's going to work for you. I can only share with you my experience of myself, my strength, and my hope, and my prayers for each one of you out there. But this awakening has got to go slow. It's got to go slow and easy and calm to make our birth process that much easier. So we've got stage one, breathing 4 cleansing breaths, in through your nose, thinking all positive thoughts, and out through your mouth, all the negative. Now, if you want to be a fish, or you want to be, you know, on oxygen, let's say, or whatever you need for yourself to understand how we've got to focus on just our breathing. And then you get the focal point, which can be a candle, a flower, a box of tea, whatever. I like to use stuffed animals, the little teeny kind. You know, they remind me of a what I'm trying, you know, I can focus in on its eyes or whatever. A lot of mothers, new mothers, use a focal point with a stuffed animal or stuffed bear that they're going to give their child. But I'm thinking back as we are babies, you know, a lot of us are older than the other, you know, in the spiritual awakening world. But this gentleman in this site that I have come across, this www.in5d.com, that spiritual awakening quiz, I really need to sit down and take it because I didn't want to do it before the broadcast because I didn't want to be, you know, into his stuff. I want to see what this has pulled up for me. What has this brought up for me? And it's brought up a lot of things. It's brought up that I need to focus more on myself and my awakening and give it, because I've been on vacation with this bronchitis and this pneumonia. I have quit, you know, doing my meditations, quit doing my workouts to the meditations because I act my meditations out for some reason. I just do, except for when I go to Father and Mother and the Mothership. She always has on the Statue of Liberty outfit. You know, but and she says she has it on because she didn't want to scare me into seeing what she really looks like. And I said, well, they tell me that they're here to learn feelings. You know, so maybe that's part of my awakening. You know, that I go up there and I lay down on the motherboard, on the mothership's bed inside my thoughts. And I get worked on that way too. But I always am going into those breathing. I'm always going into the breathing. And just like I'm having a baby, I don't see my body very often up there, but I feel it. And I talk to, and it's thought talk. And that has sharpened my intuition and my thought processes to knowing the people's energy that is coming into my life, because I have mostly done intuitive consultations, very deep root readings. I probably read most of Yahoo and chat, and I couldn't even begin to tell you how long I've been doing this. As a kid, I read all my family members, and I don't do it on radio because it's too short, and also it's too personal. I believe an intuitive consultation that I do, which is a deep root personal reading, should be done privately. And I rarely take them anymore because I'm working more on my photographs and in my artwork and in my writing, because I felt like I was being taken for granted. So that's one of the reasons. And it wasn't worth my time anymore. I felt okay with the person and I was happy to do it, but I would always forget, you know, what I had done with them, because I go into a trance as well. But I feel like I'm being taken for granted. I feel like people don't look at what their responsibility is with me or how it affects me when somebody just take. You know, I know we need to take care of ourselves. We really do. But we also need to think of how it affects other people when we take care of ourselves. You know, communication is a very big plus must for me. And I'm going to change my ways in life as of this minute. Kathy, change your ways in life. Do not let people run over you anymore. Do not let people take you for granted. Do not let people take you for advantage. Do not let people stand you up and make sure that you take care of you by all means if this is not good and healthy for you. But always, Tassie, have a thought of you're not in that other person's shoes. But if you're in your shoes, you can walk your path. I can walk my path, and by all means, I live my path. I become my path, and I do not let other people, places, and things affect me with what's happening in their life, you know, but I do allow it to come into my life as a part of me. But I cannot cause anybody to feel anything, or I cannot cause anybody to act a certain way. I do not have that power, period. I don't. Now I'm going to go into the second stage. Let's go to the second stage. We've already done deep breathings. For all those that are just now tuning in, we are birthing into a new awakening. Okay? We're like in the mother womb's umbilical, and we're hooked to the umbilical cord, and we're getting ready to birth. Now, I just did 4 deep root breathings for the Lamaze breath. Okay? To cleanse me. Cleansing breath. And we're cleansed deep in from the abdomen, out through the mouth, in through the nose, out through the mouth. But feel your abdomen, become your breath. Focus on something. Now we're going to go to shorter breaths. We've gone through the first stage of our birth, okay? Now we're going to the second stage. The second stage of birthing with Lamaze, which is the birthing of spiritual as well, I believe is all in breathing and all in the tunes and pitches of what you hear, whether it's self-talk, whether it's music, whatever you decide. Even colors have frequencies. But whatever you choose, it's up to you. Don't let other people put in your head what's good enough for you, but give the suggestions to you, just like going to school. Now, the second stage is shorter breathing, because we're going to go all the way up to where we're pant blowing, because when you're pant blowing, you can't do anything. You cannot push out a baby. You cannot do anything when you're pant blowing. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something about the fourth stage, which is the pant blow. I had 32 ablations to my heart awake. They tried to put me to sleep, but I would not let that medication take over. It was the mind over matter thing, but it was actually, what is mind over matter? The matter was the medicine going into my veins and trying to put me to sleep. But my mind and my heart would not allow that medication, that matter, to go into my veins. So there is a mind over matter, period. Now, still like the food and anything is the matter, of course, that it takes. So we're going to look at, I don't know why I just said that, it's for somebody out there. I don't know who, but mind over matter has something to do with somebody out there in the World Wide Web that is actively listening right now or in the archive, that there is matter, because it's like medicine we take or food or processes that we put into our body, how our mind is going to behave and react from that matter, of course. So let's drop that one and go to how did I do that and live through 32 ablations to my friggin' heart awake, smelling it and the pain that it put me through. Yes, I had a heart attack on the table. I did. And all I can say is that I did this. That's hissing sounds with breathing and then blowing out at the same time. Nurse said, stop that. We can't. I said, well, then you stop your procedure. Once I got into that focused mode, I could do it without making that noise. I just, in my breathing technique, in my head, into my heart, from that matter going into my veins, I was able to work with my breath so that the doctor could ablaze and burn the electrical pulses that were in my heart that were misfiring. It was a part of my, everybody has it in their heart, is a pacemaker. You have one in the front of your heart and one in the back of your heart. It's what regulates the electrical pulses to your heart. And mine were misfiring because of stress and craziness of this World Wide Web and all the hackings and stuff that I used to get and all the focus that I used to have on me. And now I don't have it anymore because I've learned not to have anything affect me like that. You know, people just can't affect me. They don't want to get my power. So, but I will love with all my heart, mind, spirit, and soul, just like I love Michael and my family. You know, that's just a person that I love, and he has his best interest for me as well as me for him. But it's rare to find that, I'm sure. And what I want to get to is the second part of breathing is shallower. You've got your pant blow. That's the fourth one. Now we're going to go to the second one. I don't know why. I just am letting my spirit talk, so like I always do. But the second one is shorter breaths. It's more like a take a deep breath. You always do your cleansing breaths, your four deep, 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 hard cleansing breaths to get you in your focus of your breathing. Now, the first one is very slow, deep breathing. And you rub your stomach, or, you know, I rub my stomach because I am learning that that's the abdomen. If we sing from the abdomen, speak from the abdomen, which I rarely do, but we learn to use our abdomen more. Those muscles help us breathe better and help us focus more. And if I focus more on my abdomen or somewhere in my body and realize if I'm moving my hands around or if I'm swimming, you know, like a fish or whatever I choose to do with my body, then that's going to get me focused in on my breathing. Breathing is the main number 100% key to the birthing process of spiritual awakening, period. You've got to know how to breathe. Just like, you know, rhythmic breathing, water. Say you're excited and you get all nervous, you get what, anxiety attacks? Then it turns into a panic attack. Check your breathing. I bet you're hyperventilating. Because what did God do? He gave us breath first thing, and he told us to go reproduce. Listen to this. Dang. God gave us two gifts in the world. How to breathe, he breathed into us, so he gave us breath, right? And he gave us go now reproduce. The rest is man learned and made. Because once we were breathing, then our heart starts pumping. So our bodies start taking over our body mechanisms. And then we're to go find our mate and reproduce, whether it's through having babies or through birthing with spirituality, or say just a relationship that completes a person. But you know, what I've got to look at is the breathing and the birthing, because that's where we are on this station right now. God Almighty, this is just amazing how God works. The knowing, the mind over matter, the mind over matter. The matter is outside effects, right? How is that going to affect me? The effect equals effect. How am I going to let that effect, the effect, affect me? And how is that what? Karma? So we're in the breathing and the birth. How is the breathing going to affect my birth? The effect to the effect. The effect to the effect. The effect to the effect. The A-F-F-E-C-T and the E-F-F-E-C-T. Those are two things that we've got to, everything has to have a positive and a negative. Everything has to have a plus and a minus. Everything has to have a yin and a yang. But it's up to us to learn that the balance is in total taking the negative and transmuting it into positive. The more positive I am, and the more I bless things that hurt me, or, you know, they don't have the power to hurt me unless I allow it. Right? So, this birth is painful. I don't care. You know, death is just as extreme as birth. Think about that. We don't remember the trauma as a child of being born, going through that birth canal, because it's traumatic. Just like the death of a person, the person's death. Paul says in the Bible that the last enemy of life is death. Why is it death? Why is that the last enemy? Because we have let go of this worldly way and we've evolved into the other side. So breathe, breathe, breathe. Deep root breathings in through the nose, out through the mouth, as deep as possible. Very slowly, cleansing breath, four of them. The next stage is deep breathing, meditation, and focusing on a focal point. Any focal point. Today's world and society calls it a mantra. I call it a focal point. That's what it is to me. It can be called a mantra, just like I'm sure that you can say, you know, water's water, even though it comes from the river, or you got your spring water, whatever you want to choose to have as your mantra slash focal point. Okay, so then I start breathing real slow and making sure I know I'm aware of my breath, because then that pain isn't going to be as bad, because my breathing's going to be controlled. That's going to control the contractions or whatever. And to me, the contractions are learning things, what we learn and how they affect us in life, any situation that we have. So we've got that birth of a new beginning, the birth of awareness, the birth of the actuality, the birth of actualization, the birth of self-actualization, the birth of understanding, the birth of the new movement, the birth of going from this world into a new world, the birth of putting it back on its axis, the birth of understanding that sometimes things I can allow to take over me if I'm not cleansed and purified and watched myself. Just like that archive I have about how 11:11 was Satan or Lucifer, which is bullcrap. You know, I said, let it come into me to speak as the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit's always in me. I just totally want to wipe that one out, because that was, you know, I used my mother voice and was screaming and hollering. But I'm going to tell you what, it's not about that. It's the 11:11 to me is about, you know, balancing of what I have done to myself in my life and others have taught me. Okay? That's the 11:11 to me, because it is all about learning that things are taught, said, you know, like boasting or, you know, talking about how great we are, having to need affirmations of, you know, I found this first or I did that first. And, you know, I wrote about this before and, you know, that kind of thing. We don't need to boast about that to other people, places, and things. We need to do it to ourselves. But if we have to put it out there, just like I can say, well, I hear all my archives all in books or you know, big deal. You know, we all are on this path together. It doesn't matter. And if you're touching somebody with your work, you know, and you see it, then maybe I could say, well, you know, I started this birthing process of this new movement, of this awareness back before, you know, I'm 55 years old. I could say, well, I started it back when I was 55 years old, but I was aware at age 1 and a half. You know, I could claim that I'm like all that, you know, but I'm not, because everybody has to find their own. Don't worry about other people. Don't worry about other places. Don't worry about other things, but give yourself 15 minutes a day. If you can eat, think of it like the food and nutrition for your body, that you have got to meditate. You have got to slow yourself down. You have got to stop your mind. You have got to learn how to breathe. And you have got to learn how to birth into a new way of life. Because everybody's freaking miserable out there. You know you are. You're miserable. Except for the ones, I'm not miserable. Even when I'm sick with pneumonia and what all I've had, I'm not miserable. Because I know it's just a stage that I will get through. A process. And I look at it like, what have I learned from it? If I dwell on what ifs and all, you know, and whiny-iny and, you know, but another thing I got to say, people will get all down and depressed. They don't know why, but you cannot help another person that is in a depressed state of mind, because they have got to bottom out. They have got to go in their cave or their bottom of the ocean in their emotions and waves, because they've got to understand why and how they got there. If somebody pulls them out of it, then it ain't going to work. It's just not going to work. Because why? Because they got help. Now, God and your creator, whoever your creator is, which I call mine, Jesus Christ, is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the Trinity. Now, if I use the Holy Ghost and know that where I came from, know where I'm going to go back to, you know, then only then can I learn the lesson for my depression or whatever, which I call sleep mode. I just go into sleep mode, period. I don't really get depressed or sad or down. But anyway, I want to also talk about the third stage. Now, we've gone to the third stage of a birth, of like a birth of ourselves, which is like the Lamaze. Now, that's more shorter breaths, okay? As you say, you're cleansing some memories out of your life. Let's say that you're cleansing a memory out of your life, or you're remembering something. Close your eyes and breathe it. You know, that is another way that you can use the silencing of your mind, body, spirit, and soul, is to use the birthing process as a memory stick, right? Because you're going to birth into understanding that that's cleansed, purified, and transmuted into a new way of life. So think of you birthing those old hurts out. Let's use that as an analogy too. We're birthing the old ways of living, the old hurts out, and we're coming to a new way of living, a new way of birth, you know, a new beginning, because every single second of every single moment of every single life, we've got a new clean page, a new clean slate, and we can write anything in it we want with our ink pen. Anything of our daily life. Nobody, absolutely nobody, can control who you are, what you are, and how you are, unless you allow it, like a mind control thing, which I love to play with the spiritual world and getting, you know, reasons and meanings from the spiritual world, because it's not that it's being controlled through me, but I like to submit to it, because evidently there's a purpose and meaning and reason behind what I am going through, or what the spiritual world is showing me, or what, you know, even an alien, whoever or whatever. It's just like, you know, things being messed with in my house and moved around. Like today, I went out to the garage. When I came back, my bottled water was sitting on my sofa with the cap off on my computer. I did not do that. I know I did not do that, because I would not leave a bottled water on my sofa open, because of all the wires that I have on the bottom, underneath the sofa, and beside the sofa, because it would kill me. You know, I'm just saying, there's stuff out there. I've got it proof on a lot of videos and a lot of archives. And I took all my YouTubes down, by the way, guys. I took them all down and closed them off, because I don't feel freaking appreciated. And it's not to be time for the things that I know to be out there. So I just close things down when I need to. I'll close down just like the Blog Talk Radio. I don't use that anymore because of my own personal reasons. I use bbsradio.com. I used to upload my archives over there, but to me, BBS Radio is a library. Now, I'm bouncing around because that's just who I am. Let's get back to the short third breath of breathing. We've got our deep cleansing breaths. Do that four times. Then you do a deep breathing. Do that until you're through that stage. Then you go deeper. shallower. And you blow out. You take pant breaths, like you're panting like a dog. Do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and blow out. If you do these, I promise, guys, gals, active listening audience, I promise you this. If I went through 32 hours of hardcore, tremendous, pushing child labor for my son, the first child I had was 32 hours. If I did that with no drugs and 7 hours of pushing, if I can do it through that breathing and not be so in much pain and totally focus out and numb myself out into that, then good gosh, don't you think that that's what God's trying to give us to understand? If we breathe properly, we can endure the pain of the outside world and the effects that are happening in this world today of all this new change that we're going through, because change is uncomfortable at first. We don't change the change. If we don't change the change, change changes not. But we've got to want to change and quit bitching about what's going on. You know, what is it going to accomplish to change this world by bitching about the president or bitching about what you don't like? But it's all about change, right? So submit yourself to what you cannot do anything about, but do something about things that you're going to bitch about it. Do something about it. Give a reason behind. Well, you know, I can sit here and go, you know, all about something that is happening out there by another person. But what am I going to do about it if it is affecting me? Give reasons behind things. Now, I've only got 5 more minutes, so I want to get into the 4th stage of this breathing method. And I want to sum up what we've been going through tonight. We've got the 4th stage, which is the pant blow, because that's where you're not allowed to push out until it's actually time. When you are told yourself to push out that birth, and that's a however fast you have to do it, do it. It'll almost feel like you've got that faint feeling, and you'll see the little blue dots everywhere, everything, if you do it faster and faster and faster. But whatever it takes for you not to push the situation and push it till it's not going to be healthy when it's birthed. You've got to allow it to be natural. So let's go through the birthing stages of a child in a mother and analogy, put it into the birth of spirituality and the birth of the awakening. First stage, you've got the pains. You know that something's a father in you. Something's affecting you. Something ain't quite right, and you want to change your way in life. You want to change your spirituality. You want to change your meaning. So what happens? You focus. You stomp your mind over the matter, which the matter is the situations out there. But it could be medication you're taking. Could be, you know, like they put that vein, that stuff in my vein, and tried to put me to sleep, and I would. They said they couldn't give me any more. They'd OD me because I had my mind over that matter. But there is matter out there. It does exist. Period. End of sentence. I don't know who that's for or what, but I just have to say, because a lot of people think it's all about spirituality and you can just control it. But you've got to know how to control it, because outside world effects, cause and effect. So the first is breathing deeply, cleansing breath. 4 deep root breathings. Then you go to the second one, which is a little bit deep breathings, but very slow. And be aware of your breathing, which I become a fish in a water with the scales. And I close my eyes and become that fish. Or I look at something like a stuffed animal or something and put it all into the eyes of that stuffed animal. Find your own mantra. Find your own focal point, you know, that you need. Now, the third, I've got to hurry. The third is the shorter breaths. And the fourth, you know, but you always take your 4 cleansing breaths first and foremost before you start anything. Then the fourth one is the pant blow method. You learn to let your breathing control your body, mind, spirit, and soul by using the thoughts of processes of what you've learned in your awakening by feeding other people, by allowing your birth and go out and reproduce and multiply. And with that, everybody share what they have learned. Everybody keep it on the road that it's for the good of other people. What are your motives behind what you're doing, what you're sharing? And do you need some focus on look at me, look at me, look at me? Or do you need to put the message out there? And also mind over matter. Also, spiritual awakening. And www.in5d.com has 51 ways and means of spiritual awakening, and it's in5d.com/spiritual-awakening-quiz.html. You want to search me out? Search out in any search engine, Kathy with a C, Hill Cook, H-I-L-L, and then my last name, C-O-O-K. Put in Bridging Wisdom. Put in Bright Lights Pathfinders. I'm out there in millions and millions of links. But with that, I'm going to say goodnight. Thank you, BBS. We love you, and we are off the air.